where we're moving on.
Broadcasting from atop the Hensler Financial Building in the heart of Georgia's financial district, Kennesaw, Georgia. This is Money Talks.
Hey, we're back again. We got TP, Teddy Parrish, Charlie Holloway, and Gene Hensler here to answer your questions. And by the way, we haven't given this out. If someone has a question to ask us, they can email me at drgene@hensler.com. They can call us at 770-429-9166. If you're outside the metropolitan calling area, 1-855-429-9166. Tweet us, do whatever.
LinkedIn,
all that kind of stuff, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. And I have one here from Kathy and Fred in Brookhaven. Nike has grown a lot in the last 4 years. Do you think it will continue its run, or should we look to something else like Under Armour?
Nike's a very solid company, A++, and on a winning streak. They really have it together. Their Michael Jordan shoe franchise can't be touched. Just can't be touched. Anytime a retro version comes out, they're sold for $225, $250. They're
a
gone.
Pair?
They are it's crazy. And they keep coming out with cutting-edge product. So I think Nike's a good long-term holding. It's at 26 times earnings, which is, they deserve to sell at a premium.
They got Tiger Woods, they got Roy McIlroy in golf, plus a number of other people and stuff like that.
Well, zero net debt.
One of the niches that they've done well in, which I don't know how much it adds to their revenue, is their socks. I have a fourth grade son. All he wears are Nike Elite socks, and they charge $15 to $20 a pair. Yes. Now, they're quality socks. They last forever.
Won't he outgrow them?
He'll outgrow them. But it's unbelievable.
Accessories.
It is just they're just marketing geniuses over there.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And Under Armour is not far behind.
Look. What are you wearing? Air Jordans?
Michael Jordans. I had to get them. Miles made me buy
them. Why did you have to get them?
Because we walked into Nike Town at Lenox, and, you know, these things come in, and if you're in the store when it happens, you need to get them, because I could actually sell these for more than I bought them. They weren't like the premium Michael Jordan.
What size are those rascals?
13s.
13s.
Yeah, so I got them. But Nike's a good...
If I cut them in half, I could work.
It's a good company to hold on to. Under Armour is an up and coming company. I would definitely keep an eye on it. It's pretty expensive right now, 65 times earnings. But they're
65.
Yeah, they're cachet. I mean, here's the deal. They came out with a compression
I wear tons of Under Armour. I don't wear anything Nike. They don't fit me right.
Yeah, the compression shirts. They were a premium product, but they have other things that are doing well now. And their shoes are finally catching on too. In other words, their shoes were looked at as low quality initially. Now they're getting a little cachet. So I think Under Armour's going to be a
long-term. Yeah, I like their price, golf shirts, et cetera, and stuff like that.
Just price.
Much better than Nike. But just because you like the product doesn't mean you want to buy the stock.
Yep, that's right.
I'm with you.
65 times earnings.
All right.
Avoid it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any? Listen, I want to answer some questions that people have called in about.
Sure.
Teddy, do you have anyone in particular? And Charlie, do you have anyone in particular you'd like to pick up first?
Yeah, we can talk about why don't we start with this isn't a stock question, but this is Aubrey from Sandy Springs. Writes in, will my beneficiaries have to pay taxes on the proceeds of my life insurance policy? That's a common question that we get. You know, my first comment is whenever the word taxes is used, you got to specify, are you talking about income taxes? Are you talking about estate taxes? My assumption here is Aubrey is probably talking about income taxes. Let's take the estate tax piece first. Life insurance proceeds are going to be part of your estate as long as it's attached to you in some form. It's called incidence of ownership. You know, there are ways to hold a life insurance policy out of your estate where it's not includable, but if it's not in that form, we won't get into that. It is part of your estate, and therefore, if you were over the estate tax exemption, you could pay estate taxes on it. But your beneficiaries, your concern there is they going to be paying some income tax on the proceeds? Generally, no. They're going to receive those proceeds on your death. Whether it's your spouse that receives it
children,
they're going to get the proceeds. So, you're not going to have to worry about an income tax piece there.
And that is regardless of whether you have a whole life, a term, or any type of universal life or anything else you're talking about.
Right. You know, one other neat wrinkle also you can do with some insurance companies is – they can hold the proceeds for a period of time mm-hmm. after you pass away and distribute them to the beneficiaries periodically. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking to kind of stretch out the payments depending on who's getting the life insurance proceeds, sort of an interesting wrinkle to consider and call your life insurance company that holds your policy and maybe ask them. Of course, you don't know when you're going to die, but
that's set, that's set in stone by you, right?
Yeah, there are options there that you could. All right,
Teddy, I got one for you.
Okay.
Christian from Buford, I have a good amount invested in Lockheed Martin. I've been very happy with the stock because of the dividend and performance mm-hmm. has been very stable this year. With the election coming up, should I bail or do you think a midterm elections will have little effect?
I don't think the midterm elections are going to have much of any effect this time around. The last couple elections, we had a lot of issues going on with the sequester and how we were going to deal with that. So those stocks were volatile around that. In this environment, with all of the renewed tensions all over the world, I would say that anybody, any fool in Washington should know that we need to increase our budget
on
defense.
For the military, yeah.
And I suspect that over the next few years, that's what's going to happen. Even if we don't, Lockheed is in a decent position. It's one of the highest quality companies in the industry, A++ financial strength, great dividend that's well covered, and it's priced right at about where the market is.
They got the 737 and the 787. That's theirs, is it?
The 787, that's the Boeing.
Boeing,
yeah.
Okay.
They have fighter jets and all kinds of other things.
Okay.
But
and they build the C-130, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Yes.
It lumbers along. You look at it, because it flies around our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And there'll be two or three of them, and it looked like you could chase them down, catch them.
Yeah, so slow.
Let me see here. We have some more questions down here. We've got a question of the week.
All right, so we've got a question of the week now. This is from Alan from Hiram. What is the deductibility of interest paid on home construction loans? So there's some wrinkles there. It's not exactly like we're all used to getting just a traditional mortgage. You have a home, all the interest, subject to some limits.
So what we're talking about is I'm having a home built for me.
Right.
And I'm taking a loan out
mm-hmm.
to build the house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before I take a mortgage out when the house is complete.
A permanent one, right.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
What's deductible there? So in general, if the money from a construction loan is used towards the building of mm-hmm. a primary or secondary residence, the loan is considered what's called acquisition debt and is therefore deductible. But there's some stipulations and some terms there. You can't just have this thing drag on forever. There's a 24-month window.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's got to be. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if this house is under construction for 5 years, you're not going to have full deductibility.
Right.
But
yeah.
You would for the 24-month period prior to the house being ready for occupancy. If you take the loan out and you're immediately using the proceeds to build, you're fine. If you start building before, then take the loan out. It really just comes down to that window of 24 months.
Mm-hmm. So what you're working on, obviously, is if you want to have a house built, you probably would go to your banker, whoever the lender of the mortgage is going to be eventually,
right. mm-hmm.
and say, I need a construction loan mm-hmm. while it's being built.
Mm-hmm.
with a guarantee that they will finance the house on a 30-year or whatever terms you want
right.
when it's complete.
Right.
And that
right.
and that makes it sort of clean and easy, doesn't it?
Yep.
So,
and if you get one after, let's say you go and get one at the end to pay for it,
uh-huh.
you have up to 90 days after it's occupied to get that one and have the interest deductible backed within the 24-month window.
Yeah, that's why you really want to deal with the same lender.
I mean, typically, I don't see that being a usual scenario. If you've occupied the house, you can just go get a traditional mortgage. I don't know why at that point you're getting a construction loan
yeah.
to then go pay a builder. You've had to pay him all along. It's not like he's going
right.
to wait till you occupy to pay him any money.
Yeah.
So that's possible. You can do that under the terms of or the laws that govern this. So, but it's complicated. So definitely check with your CPA before you move forward on it.
Yeah, and there's a lot more involved with that because what happens if your builder goes belly up in between and just runs away with the money that you've put up? So there's a lot of stuff to think about when you're basically financing the builder to build your house.
Right.
He didn't have any skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So something to think about. Maybe not so much today, but you can remember back in 06, 07, 08,
yep.
it wasn't uncommon for people to have a bunch of money into a house and find out that the builder only had a small amount into it and they were screwed. All right. We're going to take a break, Charlie.
Okay.
And we'll come right back.
A big time banker from New York City came down south one day.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.